Do you want to know the difference between Botox and dermal fillers? Do you want to know the difference between thread lifts and facelifts? Do you want to know the reasons some people choose to improve their appearance with aesthetic medicine? What makes our patients and our doctors tick? Hello, and welcome to Aesthetic Medicine Uncovered. My name is Simon Ravichandran, and in this series of podcasts, we will be talking about what aesthetic medicine actually is, the procedures that we offer, what we do, and why we do it. I hope you'll find it interesting, and I hope it answers some questions you may have. This podcast is produced by the Clinetics Group, Scotland's leading multi-award-winning aesthetic medical clinics.
Welcome to Aesthetic Medicine Uncovered. I'm Dr. Emma Ravichandran, and today I'm going to be talking to one of Clinetics' expert medical practitioners, Dr. Ali Rashid, on all things aesthetic medicine. Ali, how long have you been doing aesthetics for?
Wow. How long has it been now? Almost 14 years. 14
years. Yeah, similar to myself. I think I've been like 15, 16, maybe one more than you.
Yeah. I think full-time probably about 12, but yeah, I started dabbling in it about 14 years ago, and then I was doing A&E medicine alongside that, and then decided to dive in about 12 years ago full-time.
Awesome. Yeah. So, tell me, in the years that you've been practicing aesthetics, what has been the most common thing that people ask for? What are patients looking for whenever they come to you for treatment?
I think just like all of us, everybody wants to look fresher and better and just healthier. Yeah. And I think whenever they come to see any kind of aesthetic doctor or in this kind of workspace, they're always concerned about not looking unnatural and looking as natural as they can with any kind of potential treatments they're offering them. But I think that's the main thing everybody wants to maintain, but are also slightly fearful of potentially losing the treatments.
But isn't that a really lovely concept that people are coming, they don't want to change who they are or how they look. They just kind of just want something that's going to make them look a little bit fresher, a little bit less tired, a little bit more youthful.
Yeah.
And embrace who they are, but just be the best version of themselves.
Yeah, I agree.
And yeah, like even, you know, being in my 40s myself, female, and I've had multiple treatments, some done by yourself, I will add. But yeah, the last thing that I would want to do for myself is to look fake. Yeah, or to look changed. And I think that that's reflected a lot in what our patients are looking for. But some people do look fake. I mean, we only have to go to the airport or Tesco's or, you know, just walk, go for a walk in the street, and sometimes you do double take. What do you think makes you as a doctor different from another aesthetic practitioner? How can you avoid creating that fake look and maintaining somebody's natural beauty, which I'm proud to say that I think that in Clinetics, that's what we provide. How can we do that?
I think the main thing we have to consider when we're doing any type of aesthetic treatments or assessing our patients to have a very realistic view of what they'd like from us and what we can potentially achieve for them.
So really listening to what the patient's saying at the consultation phase.
Listening to what they want. And then
I love that.
Also having this almost innate capacity and ability to see where their face can go and how we can not change their face, but actually restore their face to the best version of themselves. I think good, well, experience obviously, but a real artistic eye. And how to globally improve that look for them. I think that's the main thing I feel.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. You know, whenever a patient comes in for a consultation, we spend a lot of time on that consultation. And yes, we've done our homework. We've done our studies. We've learned about the anatomy. We've learned about the vasculature. We've learned about how the face ages physically. But then I think that you're right. You do have to have an eye for how the face is aged. But again, I mean, for me, I, you know, sometimes talk about like my white pencil that I take out and I'm drawing all over, because sometimes I need to really draw out lines so that I can see exactly what has changed in that patient's face. Because it's not always even symmetrical. Sometimes, you know, the side that somebody sleeps in can have a little bit more fat compression and therefore a little bit more descent of the tissues. So it's about spending that time assessing that individual patient's face and, yeah, looking at how we can restore them back to how they were 5, 6, 7 years ago. And I think that basically that gives a patient a natural rejuvenation.
Yeah.
They look in the mirror, they recognize themselves because it's them 5 years ago and not somebody who has like bigger cheeks or bigger lips. It's just making them look like they were before. Absolutely. And we need to use multiple treatments, yeah? Tell me a little bit, Ali, I know you're very passionate about talking about the layers of the face and multimodal treatments. Yeah. So explain to us a little bit about how that works in aging.
I think it's good to understand that when the face does age, it's not just the skin that ages. I think we sometimes focused on the things that are that we visually see on the outside.
The canvas of
the canvas,
face.
Really.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
a lot of things are actually happening underneath the surface actually then lead to those changes and can potentially physically, I guess, be seen on the surface of the skin. So the face has five different layers. You've got the skin on the top.
Yeah.
You've got a little bit of a fatty slip mm-hmm. layer right underneath that that helps the skin slide.
Yeah.
And you've got a bit of a muscle layer, deep fat, and then you've got your bone.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest change, actually, I think, which a lot of people don't appreciate, like patients tend not to appreciate, is the bone structure changing within the face has probably the largest impact on all the layers above it.
Mm-hmm.
It's where the foundation of the face really starts to shrink and everything that's tacked on top of it
mm-hmm.
actually goes down and in the way.
Yeah.
And I like to think, the way I explain it is, you know, we start off with this rectangular table
yep.
when we're in our 20s, and we've got this nice taut rectangular tablecloth.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, that rectangle starts to become more squarish. And in our 20s, 30s, that our skin or the tissue has that capacity to almost shrink wrap itself around that shrinking table.
Mm-hmm.
But then we hit around 40, 45, and that capacity sort of starts to soften.
Mm-hmm.
And we start to almost suddenly overnight at times notice that things are changing dramatically where the skin starts to just start to droop and start getting jowls or eyes start to get sunk.
Yeah.
So understanding what's happening underneath the skin, underneath the surface, mm-hmm. and then trying to potentially restore and support those various changes or those reverse those changes, then automatically creates very nice and natural result.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I always visualize the face, and that's always impart that knowledge to my patients.
Yeah, and then attacking every single one of those layers
individually
to create a little bit of a lift, a little bit of tightening on that SMAS layer, which is the layer, the collagen layer above the muscle.
That's it.
To lift and tighten, and then using dermal fillers to put a little bit of fat back under the skin and in that deep fat compartment as well. And the sum of all those layers gives you like
that natural
rejuvenation as well. So it's not uncommon for when we do our consultations to suggest maybe a little bit of toxin, a little bit of like topical skincare and a little bit of home care, some dermal fillers under the skin and the deep fat, maybe all therapy for that collagen tightening of the muscle, and some dermal filler for replacement of the skeleton as well. And that reverses all the signs of aging on the lower face. It picks everything back up, repositions everything, giving a really supernatural result as well.
I think we're very fortunate to live in a time where, like you said, I think in the past we did understand that these things do happen, but we didn't have the tools to actually tackle each layer individually.
Yeah.
And like you said, we can tackle the skin with either topical creams or dermal fillers to strengthen and structure the skin itself. And that SMAS layer you referred to is something that only plastic surgeons until very recently were able to influence.
Yeah.
Now we've got machines like Otherapy and to a certain extent Morpheus 8 that can hit those planes to naturally and quite holistically stimulate it to give you that natural look.
I know, and how things have changed in the 15 years that we've been practicing.
Sure.
You know, the understanding that we have of that anatomical structure of the face has like exponentially improved.
Yeah.
And the treatments that we offer, the medical devices that are available, like you've mentioned, the dermal filler quality has improved
so much.
So we're not putting dermal fillers in that feel like implants anymore. Yeah. We're putting dermal fillers that behave like fat and the tissue that they're replacing, and giving that really natural restoration to the face. And the results reflect that, you know, when we look back on photographs of celebrities 10, 15, 20 years ago, they look treated.
They did,
but now that's not the case. Celebrities very often just look like they're not aging, and hopefully the patients at Clinetics too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So yeah, it's amazing how far we've come, and obviously we'll keep learning.
I think that's what we need to always just aim for. I think we're still at that tip of the iceberg. I think there's a lot more to understand and learn, and like yourself, you're at the forefront of that research base. You're always constantly trying to get the best evidence-based medicine and treatments out to your patients based on the real clinical data. I think if we continue to do that, we automatically, naturally can provide the best care for our patients.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for sharing all your information.
Pleasure.
And
thank you for having us. All right.
Thanks again to Dr. Ali for joining us today on Aesthetic Medicine Uncovered. If you would like to find out anything more about the treatments we offer at Clinetics, please visit our website at clinetics.co.uk.